that have been feeling a little under the weather. So it's so good to have you guys back. We always love when we can gather together and celebrate our Lord as a congregation. So good. But on the back of your bulletin, there is a prayer request list. So please keep those folks in mind, okay? If you have any special needs or prayer requests, please let Ms. Fondell know and Dennis know so they can get it onto the bulletin and get it onto the prayer chain, okay? We love having Lou and Lori back. I saw them somewhere. Oh, there they are. So good to have them back from their excursions. We hope they got refreshed and are ready and to be back with us today. We have some special birthdays on the list here. On the 5th is Zylan Pessenekers, and on the 9th is Miss Jean Harp. So we can say happy birthday to them. And we have a, you know when you see a brand new baby and you think, oh, how beautiful, oh, how wonderful they are. And then you notice some babies aren't so pretty because something happens. And I can't remember a day when I haven't thought my niece wasn't a beautiful baby and wasn't a beautiful girl. And her birthday is tomorrow. Isn't that right, Kai? It's today. It's today. She's smiling there, yeah. Maybe we could sing happy birthday to her today. Would that be all right? Let's try it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kylie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We love you. Coming up at the end of this month is Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter. So in regards to that, we'll be collecting for our Annie Armstrong offering. Now, the Annie Armstrong offering is a great way to help our local missionaries. We talked about Lottie Moon, and we blew that goal out of the water. Let's see if we can do the same with our Annie Armstrong offering. Our home missions is a mission field here as well. As a lot of you know, there's a lot of people that need to know what the real, true message of Jesus Christ is about. And then on March 13th, which is not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, is our business meeting. So if you'd like to come to that, please do. It's at 6 p.m. And it's not in here. It's actually in the adult Sunday school room over in the other building. But we'd love to have you come, find out what's going on in church, and learn a little bit about the workings that are behind the scenes. Are there any events or announcements that I failed to make? Yes. Oh, that's right. I'm so sorry. There is a sign-up sheet for Zianos. Last year, I believe they said there was around 50 people that went total. What a fun fellowship that is. But they need to have a total so they know how to book the space for us. They'll run out of breadsticks, it is said, so they want to make sure that we have enough of those breadsticks. But please sign up back there for the Zianos. Any other announcements? Let's go ahead and open in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we are just so thankful that we can come to your house of worship today. Dear Lord, we're thankful that we have the ability and the privilege to come. And a lot of places, those privileges are still being taken away. Dear God, I just ask a special blessing on every single face that represents a family here today. They might have a special need that only you can fill. And dear God, I just pray that the music will be uplifting. I pray that the sermon might touch hearts today. Dear God, just bless those that aren't with us and bring them back safely to us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
cross where my Savior died. Down there for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus has faith and abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Praise the soul and the Savior sweet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask You that to bless this offerings and tithes that we bring forth You this day, and use them, Father. And Father, we pray that You bless each and one of us. Keep us strong and help us to go out this week, and ask that You keep us safe and that we continue to reach out to others, Father. Bless this morning and the sermon this morning, that we may use it and ponder on it in our hearts and in our daily living, Father, as we pray and ask this in the great precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
invite you to stand again.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred hand for sinners such as I? At the cross, there I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well, night the sun in darkness hide, and show his glory to me. When Christ the mighty Maker died, for man the creatures sing. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus I hide my blushing face, my glory's cross of peace. Disarmed my heart in faithfulness, and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
We need to get with it. Did you see him? He said, we didn't come here to just walk around like a bunch of old prudes sucking on a pickle. We're here to celebrate the Lord, aren't we? Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bible, turn over to John's Gospel, John chapter 18. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 11. John 18, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden in which he had entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew that place. For Jesus often resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, an officer from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seeketh ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he said, I am he, they went back and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seekest thee? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that they might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou givest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. He was looking for his whole head, I suspect. The servant's name was Malchus. He was fortunate on that, wasn't he? Then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And the band and the captain of the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Father, we ask you to be with us, especially in these next days ahead, when we concentrate on the essentials and the basics and the foundation of our faith in Christ and the great sacrifice that he made on Calvary's tree, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The whole Old Testament pointed to that very precious sacrifice that Jesus would give, a lamb without spot or blemish. Pray, Father God, that we might worship you in spirit and truth today, that our hearts might be enlivened unto you. There are many things going on in our lives. Some of those, Father, are very sad. We ask you to continue to be with Walter and his family in a very special way. In the passing of Constance, Lord, I know that's a grievous thing. Pray, Father, you just lift them up. Draw them close to you. Now we ask, Lord, that you be with us here, right in this place, in this hour, in this spot, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, wherever two or three are gathered together, you promise, there you are in the midst. We thank you for being here today, Lord. We pray, Father, you'll work in our lives. Lord, if decisions need to be made in this service, pray, Father, they'll be done so, not from coercion or anything like that, but that they might come from the heart, that we want to serve you. We want you to be our Lord and Savior. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, it's a very interesting thing that darkness, scientists tell us that darkness aids bad behavior. Duh. It's amazing, isn't it? When the sun goes down, the creeps come out. And all kinds of little things happen. So there are reasons for that. It's easy to commit crimes under the cloak of darkness rather than broad daylight. We're kind of seeing a little bit of a difference on that anymore. Right in the middle of the day, we'll just tear down a store and burn it down to the ground or something like that. Nobody seems to be any way, shape, fashion, or form to be able to do anything about it. But darkness, few people are it's easier. It's just easier to do bad things. The circadian rhythm.
Got that?
Okay. I read this. Is altered, science tells us, at night, and it increases our propensity for bad behavior. Oh, so when the darkness comes, there's something that happens chemically. Well, the Bible tells us that these guys came to arrest Jesus at night, not because their circadian rhythm was out of order, but because they were sinful and they hated Jesus and they wanted to silence him. And they thought they could be doing that and doing that in God's will. And in a very strange way, they were, because he was ready to go to Calvary and give his life as a ransom for us. They didn't know that, but we're like pawns on the chessboard, and God moves us around. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18 tells us that Israel told his son Joseph to go and find his brothers. Now, this is a very familiar story to you, and see how they were doing. Now, what was Joseph's mind said as he was looking for his brothers? Well, maybe he was thinking that this might be an opportunity to mend the fences with his brothers, because Joseph had some dreams, and he told his brothers about these marvelous dreams, and he was all excited about it, and they weren't real happy about it. They kind of got jealous about that. But Joseph, perhaps he was thinking that. I don't know. But before Joseph even got a chance to explain to his brothers why he was coming there, they were conspiring to kill him, weren't they? It's always a big mistake to make decisions when we're out of fellowship. His brothers were out of fellowship. And the Lord God was not speaking to their hearts. They were in darkness. They were being overpowered by hatred, envy, greed. Joseph had a coat of many colors. His dad favored him. Oh, you know, moms and dads, we shouldn't do that with our children. We really shouldn't. We need to love them as equally as we possibly can. Some of them are more lovable than others, though, aren't they? And Todd has given me the eyeball here. Well, if we listen to God, we will open our Bible with a humble heart and we'll end up in a better place. But if we insist on making decisions in anger, in bitterness, then we're really far from God, and we should not expect any of those decisions to make to come out in the right place. They're always going to be damaging, not only to us, but to all around. That's the reason why Paul says sin lies in wait. Joseph's brothers, though, made this terrible decision while they were far from God. If we would let Jesus come into our lives and be near, we would hear his voice. We would humble our hearts. We would end up taking a much better path. We would be taking the path of life, not death. Joseph's brothers, though, made a decision while he was still far off, the scripture says, that they would seize Joseph, throw him in a pit. They wanted to kill him at first. And then they sat down and eat. And then when Joseph was coming to stress, how could their hearts have been so hard? They were brothers. I know that not so much in our family, because Todd and Matt are kind of far apart in that sense. But in Sonia's sister's families, I always thought that was so interesting. Shane and Clint and all those guys. They would get out in that front yard and they would fight and kick and throw sand in each other's eyes and scream and call, "Grandma, Grandma, he's doing wrong." You know, it was horrible. You'd think they were dying. And they wanted that to happen, I think, in the sense of getting that empathy there. But at the same time, you let some kid come from the block somewhere and pick on one of them. Watch out. They're like a pack of dogs. Rah! You know. So it's a very interesting thing, isn't it? They seized and grabbed a hold of Joseph and threw him in a pit. And when they sat down to eat, now, isn't that something? Here we go, throwing our brother in the pit. We're you know, just casual. Let's have a sandwich. Think they ate a ham sandwich? No, let's have a sandwich. How could their hearts be so hard? It's not hard. It's not hard. We're like that about 80% of the time, I'm afraid to tell us. We're just like that. Paul explains that to us in Ephesians 4. He says, sinners walk in the vanity of their minds. We think we're in control of all these things. And he says, having the understanding darkened and we're aliens from the life of God through the ignorance that is in us because of blindness of the heart. Sin makes us lose our sensitivity. We become callous and we become beyond feeling, and it does not bother us. I don't know. Let's see. What is that song? Bad Leroy Brown, meanest man, and is it the whole dang town? Meaner than old King Kong, meaner than a junkyard dog. Yeah. There are guys like that. You better not mess with them. He carries a .32 gun in his pocket for fun and a razor in his shoe. Woo! That's the kind of guy you want to stay a long way from. That's for sure. But the more we disobey God, the harder our hearts get, the less vision we have, and it's easier and easier for us to look the other way and to get involved in things like that. The Bible tells us that the ultimate consequence, though, of sin is total separation from God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? Death. It not only refines us and defines us physically, but it is eternal separation from a holy God. Isaiah, that great prophet, told us in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have what? Hid his face from you, and he will not hear. I kind of wonder sometimes, we're going through the motions. Somebody got you up this morning and said, you got to go to church today, it's Sunday. And you probably said, I went last week, I think. None of you guys said that. That's just me. This morning my wife says, honey, you got to get up, got to get up. I have been having some short-term memory loss. What's your name again? Sonia. And she called out to me and she said, get up, get up. And I said, I don't want to get up. I'll sleep a little bit longer. She said, it's Sunday, you're supposed to preach. Oh, yeah. Well, that's some kind of a joke there somewhere along the line. But nevertheless, it happens, doesn't it? We get trapped in those things. Matter of fact, we get trapped in routines that are good. We should, when we head this way or whatever your routine is, we ought to be joyful in that we're coming together as the people of God in the house of God to worship the Lord Jesus, who overcame death, hell, and the grave and sits at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. That should be a dance that we ought to be doing. Glory to God. Well, many have fallen for the devil's lies, and they continue to do so. If you don't believe me, just watch some television. Not shows, just the news. But God is loving, and he overlooks those faults, those little indiscretions, because he loves us, and he wants to get our hold of our hearts. Although God is love, and he loves us. Matter of fact, this Bible says that he's three times holy, doesn't he? Habakkuk says, Habakkuk 1, verse 13, God cannot look upon sin. Numbers 32 tells us, be sure, what? Your sin will find you out. I don't think we believe that. I think we think, well, that's not so bad. Other people do worse things than that. Well, you know, I'll be okay. Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he also shall reap. It's funny how we want to, when you are planting your garden or something like that in the summertime, things like that, I've learned a little bit that don't mess with it. I mean, that is. Is there some possible way for the tomato plant to die? I got that one. I in Louisville we were had a little house and I had tried to do some tomato plants and never didn't have much luck on them, and then somebody said, well, you need to have good fertile soil and you get some of that black dirt and stuff like that. I thought, oh yeah, that's probably what I need. And so I went to the fence and I dug a little bit down, and then I took some 1x6s and made like a box probably about as long as that that pew there, and I put the tomato plants in there in that black topsoil. And I thought, wow, okay, we're going to get some tomatoes. You know what happened? It rained a few times. And the little box that I made held the water. And so it was just schlup in there. So what did they do? They rotted, didn't they? Didn't get a single tomato. And then, of course, my wife would say to me, did you check the tomatoes today? I wonder if she was picking on me on that. What do you think? No, not that. But listen, you have to do it right. John 18 tells us here in this place where we just read that when Jesus had spoke these words, he went with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. It was a place that Jesus and his disciples had been before. It says there, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew of that place. Knew of that place. Because Jesus often resorted to go there. Why did Jesus go there? Well, I think it was a place to withdraw from the world. Sometimes we need to just get a little space. Get in a quiet space. So we can talk to God. And then most important, to listen to what he says. So a place is, in this instance, a place of prayer. Jesus took Peter, it says, and two of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And my Bible has a heading over this passage here that says, Agony in Gethsemane. I don't know if you just got that or not. But that's a good, it's not in the scripture. They just put that in there to give you a little clue. Verse 38 says, Jesus said, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye a while with me. And it says down in verse 39, he said, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus said in verse 42, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You see, Jesus understood his mission. He understood what his ultimate goal in life was. You know, I think that whatever you do, quote unquote, for a living may not be your ultimate goal in life. Did you know that? It may be the avenue in which God financially takes care of your needs and things like that. And you may have a totally another goal. We've got people in this church that I can tell you what their ministries is because they do it over and over and over and over again. They're the first one to say, I'll do that. Do you need help with that? Or I come to do something and they're already there. Already there. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But this place is going to be the place of arrest, isn't it? But this was not surprising to Jesus. Over in Psalms 41, Jesus was the Word made flesh, wasn't he? So this is his word. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trust, which did eat my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Talking about Judas. Psalm 55 also talks about Judas. Zechariah 11:13 tells us about the 30 pieces of silver that were going to be given to Judas. You see, God knows all that from the very beginning, before you ever get there. Charles Riley, who you might know or not know, I don't know, tells us that the Roman cohort that came here with Judas. Let me just, I just read this and I thought, wow, that's fantastic. Had no idea. How big is a cohort? Does anybody know? 5, 10, 12? More? 100? More? 300 to 600 men. Isn't that amazing? Here's this guy who walks around who has nothing physically of any value, maybe his cloak, because on the cross they gambled for his cloak. He has nothing physically worth anything. Here's this guy going around teaching and preaching, speaking in parables, telling the truth, encouraging us encouraging them to get closer to God, encouraging us to get closer to God, all those kind of things. And they want to arrest him. And so when they decide to arrest him, they send a cohort. What kind of a deal is that? The whole bunch probably couldn't get in the garden. I don't know how big the place is. I think I was there, but I didn't think about it then as to how big it was compared to that. You know why that is? The devil understands one thing. God's people have power. And if God's people will pray, speak, and act as God has instructed them to do, you can't stop them. And so he thought, well, I got to take an army over there. This is Jesus. So between 300 men, I don't know, maybe just 600, that whole garden was full of folks. That arresting party came and they asked, and Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And what does the scripture say? They fell back. Now, I don't know. I am. I am. I am the I am. You see, they weren't unfamiliar with the scriptures. They just didn't want to be obedient to it. Jesus said, I am. And they went, we're talking to the great I am here. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing how that works. Listen, we're living in a desperate time, in a desperate world. We have wars, rumors of wars. We've got people getting killed all over the place. We have people rioting in the streets. We've got people marching on Washington doing this or supporting this or supporting that. And half of it, maybe 90% of it, you go like this. My goodness, what's wrong with these folks? What are they doing? They're just doing what they know best how to do. And that's to follow their leader, which is Satan. And he tells them to do something, instructs them to do it, they do it. Now, the amazing thing is that we are the opposite of that. We are the people of God. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, rose again the third day. When we have embraced him as Lord and Savior, we become part of the family, the household of God. We become part of the promises of God spoken to Abraham way back then. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be like the sands of the seas and the stars of the heavens. You're not innumerable. That's part of, that's us too. But we're so frightened. We're so frightened of what our co-workers might say if we said to them, hey, you know, it's getting close to Easter time. I don't know. Maybe you'd like to come and worship with us on that great and glorious day. You know what? We don't do that. They know what's coming up. They're planning on using that occasion for whatever nutty, sinful thing they want to do. We know the truth of those things that are happening. We know the truth of what happened and that Jesus died on the cross, but on Sunday, he got up. And we serve a risen Savior. That cross is empty. And it should be. And we're afraid to say anything. Because we're afraid we might offend somebody. Listen, most of your friends who are lost and those kind of things, they're not offended by what you say. If you say it in love and the Spirit of God is leading you, they're going to be receptive to that because God says, my word will not return void. It won't come back to me empty. So don't be afraid to do that. In these next few weeks or something like that, you know what you ought to do? You ought to take your directory and you ought to say, here's somebody that I know and like him and everything like that. I haven't seen him for a while. I think I'm going to write them a little note and tell them, love to see you, such and such a day. Oh, whoa. Have you ever received a little note from anybody or anything like that? I bet you have. And do you think when you get those little notes, all the crazy things that you think about before you write the note? Oh, they'll get mad at me. They'll shun me. They'll say you're just too zealous for me. You're over. None of those things. None of those things. So it's our opportunity. And I think because of the reaction there, I think they really understand and expect that that's an appropriate thing. The greatest thing in history, and you worship the Lord, and you praise His name, and it's so important that you've given your life to Him, and that you wouldn't say anything about it, is the antithesis of what they might think. They look out here, Dennis and I, and I remember that time when we went up to, what is it up there in Auburn, the Auburn Core Duesenberg thing where they have just tons of cars out there and stuff like that. Me and you and Alan Bale, I think, and maybe John Mann. We did it a couple times, I'm sure. We probably did it every time we could, right, Dennis? My wife says to me, I want to go to the Grable Fair thing. And she said, you want to go with me? And I said, no, I don't want to go there. Why do I want to go there? You know, I've seen the chicken they put in the mailbox and push him out and he flies 5 feet. You know, I've seen the little stick man that somebody made out of Coca-Cola can. That's interesting, but not overpoweringly interesting to me. Oh, the little flowers in the pots and things like that. And you can get a turkey drumstick that big and all that. Now that might interest me a little bit, but nevertheless, I tell her, I don't want to do that. And you know what she tells me? She says, "You go up there, waller around on the ground." Looking at cars, looking at mufflers, all that kind of stuff. You spend the whole day climbing in and out, up, down, going, wow, here's a 57 Chevy that's got a 283 that is a fuel injected thing with a four-speed transmission. And they made them from the factory like that. Just made them maybe 500. I can't remember exactly what the number. It's so rare. It's unbelievable. And we go like this. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Yeah. I remember that particular car because we couldn't get Alan out from under it, could we? They had a mirror there. You could look like that and see right there. He laid down. He got out there. He was messing around. And I think Dennis probably went over there. And I guess, come on. There's a lot of cars here to see. He didn't move. What is it? You know what it is? It's what you love. It's what you want to do. You use your volition. You use your free will to do that. There's nothing wrong with a... Well, maybe there is. I don't know. You know, somebody who takes a Coke can and makes some kind of a little thing, I think they need to go somewhere for some help. Don't you? That's what fun to... it must be something. Yeah. Now, I'll drink the Coke out of the can and give the can to you if you want that or whatever like that. Yeah. But it's just, why don't we prioritize what we like and all those kind of things. And there's nothing in and orderly wrong with any of that. And like I said, I tell my wife, I don't want to go up there to Grable. I saw that. I don't remember how many years ago it was. I thought that was kind of cool for a little while. They had this little pole with a little mailbox on the top. They put a chicken in there, a hen. And they pushed the hen out. And she went 6 foot or something like that. They marked that spot. What it was some kind of chicken flying contest. Somebody brought their chickens up there to put in that mailbox and get pushed out. And I thought to myself, you've got to be kidding me. Is something wrong with these people? Chickens can't fly. I mean, they can glide a little bit. I mean, I'm not a farmer, but my grandma had chickens. They don't fly. You know, how about a goose? Push it out of there. You may never see him again. But it's what we like. It's what our hearts desire. And there's nothing inordinately wrong with those kind of things if we have the right priorities. And sometimes those things that we like the most can be used in the thing that's greatest of all, in telling people, sharing the gospel, and inviting people to Christ. There are people out there who like cars. There are people out there who like flowers. Now, I kind of like flowers. I think they're pretty and all that kind of stuff. I like to smell the ones that have good smells, all that kind of stuff. But it's too much work. You have to water them. You have to give them some plant food or something like that. I bought my wife this huge thing of roses. I thought, this is perfect, because they are silk. They will never be falling off. They'll never need water. I won't have to ever buy another vase of roses. We've got it, and everything like that. At first, they were on the table downstairs. You know where they've been for about the last 20 years? Upstairs in our bedroom on the little dresser over there. Yeah, and so when you go over there to get something, your socks or your underwear or something out of there, you're right there in those silly roses messing with you. And then not only does she have that there, how many of those little things you got sitting up there? Tons of them. I don't even know what they are, little things. And you take your socks and put them on top of the thing. You got to watch out because you'll knock half of those over. And how does she know that this one was here, that one was there, and there was that one there? She who messed with the stuff? It's amazing, isn't it? Well, listen. She puts up with me, so I'm certainly not going to mess around fiddled with the roses. Have to get the right priorities in what we're doing and live by them and enjoy them. These things shouldn't be a pain in the posterior. They ought to be joyful. You know, there spiritual gifts, we've done several things on spiritual gifts, and I think there's about 16 of them I can find quickly or whatever like that in the New Testament. I don't know. Maybe there's 18, I don't know. 16, whatever. But you know, I believe that everybody has one spiritual gift. God gives them a spiritual gift. When they ask Christ to come in their life, he equips them with something. Right there. Gift of hospitality, whatever it might be. All those kind of things. I could point you around this room and tell you some of you folks' gifts because you use them all the time. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. You want me to play the piano this morning? Find out why not. Yep. I know what there's white things there and there's little black things there. That's all I know. I have no idea what any of that kind of stuff is. But I know there's some of you guys that do. And praise God for you. Because when you start doing the white things and the black things, it is beautiful. It wakes our hearts and our minds up, draws us to the very throne of grace. Pastor, I know he hates this stuff, but that guy has got a voice that does not quit. The only other guy that I know that has any voice at all like that is me. He sings on key, and I major in singing off key, so he sounds better. But I believe everyone ever sitting here, you got something that God's gave you, and if you use it, you're going to minister with it. It's going to be powerful, and it's going to draw people. Now, you're probably not going to draw car-loving people with a tin can man. Probably not going to do it. But when you start talking about four speeds and 13-inch clutches and 327s and 427s and, you know, all that, then Almost immediately you can tell, because those guys go, had one of those. Yeah. Rick's not here today. He had a 64 GTO convertible. You've got to be kidding me. How did that guy get a 64 GTO convertible? Rick, turn off the radio. He's a nerd. But he must not have been when he was 18 or 19 or 20, because that was a cool car. Still cool. I suspect he would like to have that car today. Don't you think so? Yeah. Listen, walking in the light, God can use us. Don't be afraid of these guys who come at dark. They're up to no good. Don't be afraid of them. Because you speak, Jesus said, I am he whom you seek. You can't be stopped in what God wants you to do. You can't be stopped. There were three girls that were from Syria, I think. Syria, someplace like that. They were on the television not too long ago. And they were Christians. They'd put them in jail in Syria because of their testimony. And then they took them out of jail and put them on an airplane and sent them to someplace in Europe. I don't know, Germany or someplace like that. You know why they did that? Because they're loving, wonderful folks. And they thought they've been in jail long enough and they're just eating our grub and everything like that and enjoying it too much. No, you know what? In jail, in prison, they were talking to people, in the women that were also with them in the about Jesus, and those people in the cells next to them were coming to Christ, and they couldn't stop it. So the only plan that they had was get rid of these people. But on television they were saying, we're getting ready to go back. I just thought about all the officials from that particular country that might have saw that. We probably went, listen, you can't be stopped. You can always do what God asks you to do. He wouldn't ask you to do it if you couldn't do it. He will equip you. He will give you the strength. He will give you whatever it needs. You cannot be stopped what God wants you to do. Jesus came, the great I am, took upon himself human flesh, came, spoke as not no other man ever spoke, did miracle after miracle, raised the dead. Lepers were healed. Not since the beginning of the world has any been blown by and received his sight. All these things, and they could not, because they would not submit themselves to God Almighty. Friends, we need to have a little bit of humility and a lot of love and submit ourselves. Using this time we have, the next few weeks especially, to try to touch people's lives. Touching lives for Christ. Wow. What an assignment. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. A beautiful day. Thank you for all that you've done in the lives of those around us. Pray, Father, you continue to be with Walter and his family in these next few days. This is our test. We thank you for the ability you give to us to speak a word in your name. We pray, Father God, you'd lift us up, use us, help us to be on that cutting edge of what you would have your church to be doing in the world. This church, your church, Calvary Baptist, St. Joe Center Road, here in this side of town, our side of the community. Lord, what we should be doing, help us to do it. Lord, if decisions need to be made this morning, whatever they might be, I pray they'll be done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. If you have something open, public, need a decision, don't hesitate. Come on down.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream. Close of Calvary's fountain, beneath the cross.
Thank you very much. Walter, stand up a second. We're going to introduce you. You don't need an introduction, but we'll introduce you anyway. Walter's coming this morning, and he has told me a couple of days ago, actually. He said, I'm neglected doing something. I've never actually joined Calvary. He said, we talk about it and want to do it and all that kind of stuff. We never did it. He's come this morning. Are you happy about that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, remember, he's got a lot of things on his plate this week with Constance, for you know, and all those kind of things. So continue to pray for them. But I want you to come. Welcome him this morning. Okay? All right. Pastor, could you close us in prayer?
In Korean?
I think God understands that. Go ahead.
사랑과 은혜가 자비가 풍성하신 참 좋으신 하나님 아버지, 이 시간 주님 앞에 모인 사랑한 주의 백성들의 모든 머리머리마다 하나님의 성령께서 이 시간 임재해 주시고 저들의 모든 삶과 가정과 자녀와 직장과 모든 범사위에 우리 하나님의 풍성하신 은혜로 충만히 충만히 역사하여 주시옵소서. 우리 주 예수 그리스도 이름으로 기도드리옵나이다. 아멘.
아멘. Thank you. All right, you're dismissed. Go home. Be careful. Come up here and shake Walter's hand. Tell him you're glad to see him this morning.